think you should always start off a sermon, kind of loosen people up. So I heard a great joke about amnesia last week. Man, I just can't remember what it was about. All right. Hopefully this will work back here. Is that going to make noise? Is that working? Up, oh, I'm good. Okay. I can't see you through these, but I can see here through these. So Gary asked me to speak again, sort of short notice. And so I really haven't even had time to go over this. So this could be a 15-minute sermon. Could be a two-hour sermon. If I get into the second hour, slow me down. And I found that if you really want to be able to make a 20, 25-minute sermon, just put in more scripture. That's all you got to do. It's God's word. It's the best thing anyways. But the last time I spoke, which was the only time I spoke, which is really surprising he asked me again. But I spoke on Good Friday, and I talked about one of the benefits of God's love for us, and that was that he would call us friend. And that was just an amazing gift, that God would call us his friends. But the name of this sermon is, "And Now for the Bad News." Or it could be, you know, flip over the coin the other side, or now drop the other shoe. Because immediately after, I mean immediately after, the next verse, after Jesus has gone through this amazing time of talking to his disciples about the love he had for them, the fact that they were his friends, that was through John 15, verse 9 through 17. We're going to start in verse 18. And so after he's talking to them about being friends and after loving one another, he goes into this. "If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you, they will persecute. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Now I have to find my place here. All right, I'm already down to first page. We're almost done here. No, I'm just kidding. So when Jesus talks about the world hating us, he's talking about the world system. He's talking about what the world values at the time. Throughout history, the world has valued different things. And if you look at our particular history, where we're in now, what the world values is not something that God values very much at all. The world values the freedom to go out and have an abortion. The world values the freedom to marry whomever you want. Doesn't matter what sex they are. The world values not really respecting people the way they used to respect. The world values things that are the exact opposite of what things used to be. It doesn't, if you have been here as many years as I have, you just see how things have literally changed. What used to be bad is good. What used to be good is bad. It's different. I'm probably getting off here, and I might be jumping ahead, so I'm going to try to get into my notes and see where I was. Jesus said the world hated him before us, and it hated him because he put himself as equal to God. Jesus is referred to in the Bible as many different titles. He's referred to as Christ, the Christ as a Savior, as Emmanuel, as Lord, as Master. But most of you know that the term that Jesus used most for himself, the one that he always described himself was Son of Man. And we find that a couple of times in Daniel, one when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar's looking into the fire, and there's not three people he threw into the fire, there's four people, and one of them looked like a son of the gods or a son of man. The other time in Daniel, it was in Daniel 7, verses 9 through 14, Daniel had a vision, he had a dream, and most of that vision dealt with the four kingdoms that would come throughout history. But in verses 13 and 14, Daniel said, "In my vision, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they hated Jesus because he referred to himself as the Son of Man. He referred to himself as this description that Daniel had in that scripture, or back in Daniel. And that's why they hated him, because he was saying, "I'm God." Well, he was God. He is God. But they didn't get that. They're looking for a completely different king. They're looking for, I think I mentioned last time when I spoke, that I think that the most difficult commandment is the very first one, because we all want to be God. I am the Lord thy God. They should have no other gods before me. But we all want to control things. We all want things the way we want. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they wanted that very same thing. They wanted to control things. They wanted Jesus, if he was the Savior, to be the Savior he was supposed to be in their eyes, not the way God had planned things out. And that's the way I think we do it as well. I think we all want to be in charge of our kingdoms, or we want to have control, or whatever. I just think that's a really difficult commandment, because it's hard to let go. It's hard to let God be God and for us to be who we are. The world hated Jesus because of that. But the world hates us because in verse 19, we're back to John here now. This is why you get these complimentary drinks, because your throat gets dry here. So back to John now. In verse 19, Jesus tells his disciples that they are not of the world, because Jesus has chosen us and taken us out of the world. The good news is that Jesus did that for us. And think about that. What an incredible blessing it is. Jesus took us out of the world. Jesus has chosen us to be his children. What an honor that is. You think of all the things that you could have in life. And again, the world system, the world's value is going to tell you to win the lottery. Or the world system is going to tell you to be a Hollywood star, or be the king of Saudi Arabia, or the President of the United States, or whatever. It's not going to tell you to be chosen by God to be one of his children. But there's nothing more valuable. I mean, talk about winning the lottery. There is nothing more valuable than being one of God's children. And that's what he's done for us. That's what he's given us. And we don't really understand that, because we're not up before him yet. We're not in the kingdom of heaven. We don't know what that is. We've gotten slight glimpses throughout history of what that might be like. But to be before the very presence of God forever and ever, what an amazing gift that is to us. And of course, it's a blessing to us, but the bad news is, as a result, the world hates us. It hates us because we don't have the same values as the world has. We don't treasure the sin. We don't treasure the corruptness. We don't treasure the filth, the ickiness. We don't join the world. We don't do the or value the unholy things that the world does. At least we're not supposed to. But we do occasionally, don't we? I mean, if you think about it, God took us out of the world, but we still have this flesh that we battle with all the time. We still have that old man trying to work his way back in, or old woman for ladies, you know. So, but it's that battle of constantly keeping sin down or keeping the flesh down, which wants to rear its ugly head and tempt us and bring us further away from the Lord. But it's just it's an ongoing struggle. So I just say that to not discourage us. The Lord picked us. We're His. We're going to have that struggle. Keep on fighting. Keep on staying faithful. We value the things of God. God stepped into our lives by sending the Holy Spirit to awaken us to the gospel. We need to be on guard against the flesh, but we need to believe that what Jesus said, He chose us, He's taken us out of the world. But that's why the world hates us. That's why we're not popular. That's why Christian values are really different. This country is getting darker and darker. I remember when I grew up that most people went to church. Not everybody went to church, but most people went to church. It wasn't a strange thing to have your neighbor go to church. It wasn't, oh, there's that guy with his Bible in his hand going to church. Now, maybe not all the churches were right. Maybe not all the churches spoke, you know, complete truth. But yet, Christianity wasn't looked down upon or soured upon like it is today. It's really, when I said the world has changed, it's really different. It was a common thing for people on a Sunday morning to get up, put all those kids, and we had eight of them, put kids in the car, head off to church, and people would do that all over. And then usually go over to grandma's house with her 11 children and the Italians over there, and look like a scene from The Godfather, but you know, it was a normal thing. You know, it was really pretty normal. Let me catch up to myself here. So now to take a stand for biblical truth, it can cost you your job, it can cost you friendships. In some countries, it'll cost you your life. It'll cost you being popular. It'll cost you people looking down on you. But God chose us out of the world to be holy. In 1 Peter, I'm going to turn to that if you want to, in the first chapter, verses 14 and 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you are also to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a pretty tough verse, word of God to have to live up to be holy because I'm holy. But it's certainly something to strive for and to continue to. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, there we go. Should take these out as I do them. 5:27. Now, this is the portion of Scripture where wives submit to your husband and husbands. But I don't want to, I'm not applying it as a man and a woman in this situation, because it says it's compared. It says, in starting in verse 25, it says, husbands, loves your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. And that's the way we are supposed to be striving. That's what we're shooting for, is to be holy and blameless. And I know that's a difficult thing, and especially in today's world. The idea of this is that, of what I'm talking about, is that in order to take a stand for Christ, it's going to be very, very unpopular today. Very unpopular today. And we have to decide, you know, who are we? Are we children of God? Are we His children? Are we striving to please our King, our God, our Lord, our Creator? Or are we living for the world and what the world has to offer us? Taking a stance for Christ would be an unpopular position in today's world. Prepare to be rejected. Jesus came into the world. Prepare to be rejected. That should have been period after that. I'm sorry. I want to read a couple of quotes here, one by R.C. Sproul and one by James Montgomery Boyce, just so I'm not stealing their stuff here. Okay. Quoting R.C. Sproul here. Jesus came to a world that was against him. God gave him some out of that world, and it is for that reason we still plead with our friends. We still bear witness to our friends in the world. We still give them love in the hope that some of them will come and participate in the joy that is the legacy of Christ. But we know that some will reject all that and reject us for offering it. They rejected Jesus, and a servant must be expect no better treatment than his master receives. And we're servants of Christ. Jesus was rejected to the point of death. Everybody that's in here obviously hasn't been rejected to the point of death, at least not yet. But that could be coming. That very well could be coming in our world. The way this world is changing, the way the battle, particularly in our country, is going, it's heading that way. And I know this is a real encouraging word I'm trying to think. But here's the deal, is that Jesus told his disciples, you are my friends. He gave them all that gift of love that he's given us. He's shown that. But on the other hand, he's showing them what they're going to have to face. And if we are believers, if we're pastors or elders, or we're here to teach or to share, we've got to share the whole gospel. We can't just take the good stuff that we want to hear that's going to pacify us and go, oh, God is love, love, love. God is you know, going to bless me with riches. God is going to bring me into heaven on a cloud with a harp and, you know, all this stuff. But we need to talk about what reality is, and the reality is if we follow Christ, if we are going to be serious about following Christ, there will come some hard times. If that's not happening, then we need to take a look at, are we compromising maybe? Are we compromising our faith and stuff? We don't want to go out and be irresponsible and be irritant to people, but if we're living a Christ-like life, sometimes we have to take that stand. And it's going to be an unpopular stand, and people have to know why that is. Because we honor our King, because we honor the one that loves us. And so the Bible isn't all, it is good news because it's called the good news. But there's some tough news, let's just put it that way. It's a very difficult news in there to be faithful to Him. And we need to do that. We need to stay faithful to Him. James Montgomery Boyce says, it's true that this is a tough time in which to remain faithful. And he's writing this in like 1990 or maybe before that. He passed away, I think, in 92. Do anybody know something? So this is a tough time in which to remain faithful. But it was tough in Daniel's day as well. The government was in a political and moral decline in that time. It was difficult for Paul in his day. The Roman Empire was very morally bankrupt. It has always been tough for God's people, but those who truly are his people persevere, and we look forward to Christ's reign and for us to reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:11-12 says, "This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us." It has always been, I think if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find all sorts of stories about how unpopular it was to follow God. Whether it was God or Christ in the New Testament, whether it was Jonah. Jonah's story is particularly interesting because here's a guy who had to go preach to people he didn't like so much. And he knew what would happen. But yet, he went and did it. I mean, it was unpopular. He was more probably afraid because these were people that had despised God. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel was mentioned, Hosea, Malachi, or as us Italians like to call him, Malachi, the only Italian prophet in the Bible. But all of these people, you know, faced difficult times. They faced difficult times, and it was really hard to be, I mean, can you imagine being Jeremiah? What was his nickname? The Weeping Prophet? I mean, it was really hard. But this is part of the life that God called us to. Aaron read, let me see. I think I'm going down here first. Let me see. Okay, I'll go here. So I had Aaron read Psalm 27, which he was going to read anyways if I didn't ask him to read it. So that was interesting. But in the very end, and Aaron, you actually commented on it, the very end, wait for the Lord. That last verse, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. God is not going to abandon us in any way. God hasn't put us here to do it on our own. God doesn't actually want us to do it on our own. God wants us to call on him. God wants us to be strengthened. God wants us to cry out to him. When we have, you know, Gary is always inviting us to prayer here on Wednesday night. Gary is inviting us to Bible study on Wednesday night. That's not just to come and study the Bible. I study the Bible at home. It's not just to come and pray. I can pray at home. It's to come and be part of the body, to strengthen each other. We can't do it alone. It's really a time to be encouraged. It's a time to build this family, a time to come and to draw strength from it, a time to grow together as a family. It shouldn't be a tremendous burden because we should be coming and getting something out of it. We should be coming and getting confidence that each other has our backs. We should be drawing close enough to each other where if we have a particular problem, if we're struggling with a particular sin, if you need help in some area, that you would trust this family enough to be able to count on them. And we should be there for each other to be able to be counted on. We should be there as brothers and sisters in Christ to support each other. I mean, this is a small little portion in this great gigantic world of Christians celebrating Christ all over the world today. But in this little group, this is our church that God has blessed. And we should just continue to grow and build off of that and really have each other's backs, really support each other, really pray for each other, really help each other. When David wrote this psalm, David was, if you know his story, obviously he was anointed by Samuel to be the king. And Saul was already the king. And I don't think, if you look at the book of Samuel, if you're reading it, Daniel wasn't striving to be, you know, to take that kingship away from him. He was serving the king and was going out doing his share of slaughtering people, you know, in a good way. You know, I mean, he was doing what he was serving, you know, he was serving his king. He was being faithful to him. He wasn't trying to usurp the king. He would have waited his time for God to put him as king. But Saul, knowing that David had been anointed, started these attacks, drove him out, where David had to be out in the wilderness. People came and followed him who felt the same way, who were attacked or felt persecuted in some way or felt they needed to support David in some way. But David's goal wasn't to take the kingship away from Saul. He figured that Saul would someday die and whatever, it would, you know, that kingship that God had promised him would come in the natural way. Well, it actually did later. But in that time, David was on the run for years. I don't really know, 10, 12, 14, something like that. Years where he was out in the wilderness, surviving with his men, still doing the work of God, occasionally going off base a little bit, but for the most part, still serving God. And that's where he wrote a lot of these psalms. And this particular psalm, if you read it, again, he had people coming against you. He had people persecuting him. But he was content to wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. To wait for the Lord. That's what he was waiting for. That's what God wants us to do, is to call on him and to wait on him. To be a family, when we get into the kingdom, we are going to be a family. We are the most blessed people on the face of this planet. We really, really, really are. And I would just encourage all of us to continue fighting. Continue fighting for your king. Continue fighting for your salvation. If you take a stand as a Christian and someone's going to laugh at you, someone's going to think you're unpopular, you know what? Be faithful to your king. Your king is who you're going to answer to. You're not going to answer to friends. You're not going to answer to your boss. You're not going to answer to your parents, your brothers or sisters, your best friends. I know you guys are answering to, Henry. Not going to answer to your parents. Well, you're going to answer to that. But that's, you know, we are going to come before God someday. We are going to give an account of our lives. And he's giving us the greatest blessings that we could possibly do or have right now. But be faithful in that. Just be encouraged. Fight. Understand the world's going to hate us. That's where we're heading. That is where we are heading as a nation. Unless this nation changes around, that's where we're heading. And we need to prepare for that. We need to prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but we need to prepare for the worst. But God is faithful. He always has been faithful. He always will be faithful. He is our Lord and he is our King, and he is not going to let us down. I got to do my part not to try to let him down. That's it. All I got. All right. Didn't go 2 hours. I didn't think it would. So. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, all that you have done, all that you continue to do. You are the God that has chosen us, has chosen me, and I choose to serve you, Lord. I choose to be your child. I choose to go your way. And Lord, I pray that we all will do that. We need your help. We need your help to show us how to do that. We need your help when we are weak. We need your help when we are tempted to to fail you. Lord, help us be strong. Help us bring you glory. Help us bring you honor. Help us so that you would be the most important part of our lives. Lord, we ask a blessing on the rest of this time as we come and share your supper and be reminded of Jesus, what it was you did for us. We thank you for that and ask your blessing in Jesus' name.